For spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountains.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Mr. Stephen Drucker, and we're going to be talking about another of the attacks on the health of the American people. Mr. Drucker has been very concerned about the effect of genetically modified foods, and now we're told, oh, there's no evidence they're harmful. We've done all these studies on them, and there's nothing to worry about, and yet most of the countries of Europe just refuse to accept genetically modified foods. So, Stephen, what's wrong with it? After all, the government says it's safe. Stephen, are you there? Well, let's see. Oh, there we are. Okay, Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Clive, just give us your background of what's going on.
Yes, I'm an attorney, and I've been have my degree from the University of California at Berkeley.
We won't hold that against you, because I went there too.
And I have been involved since 1996 in the campaign to actually get a much more rational and truth-telling policy from our government on genetically engineered foods. And it turns out, Dr. Stan, that my organization, the Alliance for Biointegrity, led a lawsuit against the FDA that forced it to divulge its internal files on genetically engineered foods. And that uncovered something quite remarkable, and that is that the scientific experts at the FDA overwhelmingly concluded, after a very comprehensive review, that genetic engineering is something very, very different than conventional breeding when it comes to creating new varieties of food, and that it cannot be assumed to be just as safe. In fact, that it is inherently more hazardous, and that every food that's produced through this technology of genetic engineering really has to be viewed with some significant degree of caution, and that each of them should be carefully tested. And those tests should include long-term toxicological feeding studies using the whole food. Now, those kinds of tests aren't being done even in Europe, and there's no testing done here in the U.S. What happened here is that the bureaucratic decision-makers at the FDA had been operating since 1987 under a White House directive to, as much as possible, promote the U.S. biotechnology industry and speed the entry of its products onto domestic and foreign markets. So what they did was they basically disregarded and covered up the extensive input from their own scientific experts and decided to instead go with what they'd been told by the White House and the Office of Management and Budget, which was to regard these foods as no problem. So the public policy statement, the formal policy statement that the FDA issued in May of 1992, claims that there's an overwhelming scientific consensus that genetically engineered foods are just as safe, even though it knew that the overwhelming consensus of its own experts was just the opposite.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a break here, and we're going to bring some new stations on, so we want to save a lot of this information for the people who've never heard this sort of thing, with the degree of control that exists over the media. The average person has no idea of the real danger that we're in. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Stephen Drucker, who is an attorney who has been very, very concerned about the use of genetically modified foods and the fact that they want to introduce them into our diets. Now, we are told, oh, we have to have these genetically modified food or people are going to starve to death throughout the world. I mean, with all the people we have in the world, why they're going to starve to death if we don't have genetically modified food, and yet we're paying farmers today not to grow food. What's wrong with this story? And then, of course, they say there's the overwhelming preponderance of scientific studies that show they're perfectly safe. And I'd like you to address that for our listening audience who did not hear your prior remarks.
Well, first, Dr. Stan, it's very important to make clear that there is not overwhelming scientific evidence that these foods are safe. As I mentioned before, although the experts at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration repeatedly said that every one of these foods should be carefully tested, should be demonstrated safe before it's marketed, which, by the way, is the law of the land anyway, that's required by federal statute, the bureaucrats at the FDA, in their desire to promote the U.S. biotech industry, allowed every one of these foods, any of these foods on the market that a manufacturer wants to put on the market, to be marketed with absolutely no safety testing required at all. And even in Europe, where some superficial testing is required, the kinds of tests that were called for by the FDA experts have yet to be implemented. There is not, to my knowledge, there is not a single genetically engineered food on the market anywhere in the world that has passed the kinds of safety tests that the U.S. government's own scientific experts said are necessary. Just from a scientific standpoint, they're also necessary from a legal standpoint. So there's no overwhelming evidence, and to the extent that there have been studies done on genetically engineered food, even though they're very superficial, many have raised real cause for concern. For instance, when we brought the lawsuit and forced the FDA to divulge its files, one thing we found in the file was that the first genetically engineered food that did come on the market, a genetically engineered tomato, had been subjected to some safety testing voluntarily by the manufacturer, even though the FDA hadn't required it. And they'd submitted the data to the FDA scientists, who found that it actually raised a safety issue. The FDA scientists said there are some problematic patterns in the laboratory animals eating the genetically engineered foods. We need more data.
All right, hold that thought, because I think this is really what's so important. What do the animal studies show? You certainly have to have animal studies before you do human studies. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Mr. Stephen Drucker, and we're talking about a genetically engineered food. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to hear about this. You know, they've got to be safe. The government wouldn't do anything that would be harmful for us. And I would like to suggest, if you haven't read the Rockefeller Committee report from the Veterans Administration, you really need to get it, and you really need to realize they've done a lot of things that really aren't safe for the American people. In fact, they've experimented on our population. They've experimented on our children. They've experimented on a military, and now they're undertaking another great experiment. Now, what did the animal studies show that really caused so much concern?
Well, there was a curious pattern of stomach lesions in the laboratory rats that seemed to indicate that there might be a greater problem with the genetically engineered tomato. And in fact, several of the rats eating the genetically engineered tomatoes died during the first few weeks of the studies. Only one eating conventional food died during the study, and those rats just basically were removed from the study. Not much mention was made of it, but that's clear from the records when other scientists have gone through it. So there's a pattern. The FDA scientists said this tomato has not been demonstrated to be safe according to the legal standard. A legitimate safety issue has been raised by the data. We need to see more data. We want the manufacturer to do more tests. At that point, the manufacturer refused to go forward because, after all, the FDA wasn't requiring it to do any testing, and it realized the more it tested, the more likely it was something bad would be demonstrated conclusively. So it basically refused to go ahead, trusting that the FDA bureaucrats would side with it, which they did, and that food came on the market without any more safety testing, even though the tests were done, had been done, raised a safety issue in the eyes of the FDA's own experts. Now, another study that was done in the UK, in the United Kingdom, funded by the government, a very extensive, well-conducted, well-controlled study on a genetically engineered potato, actually showed several problems. And in fact, that study was published in The Lancet, a respected medical journal in Britain, and yet the scientific community, the establishment, has jumped all over it. Many people have even claimed that that study wasn't published. It was published. It was published in The Lancet, and it showed some very significant reasons to be concerned. The major author of that study, who has years and years of distinguished history as an expert in testing food, has said that he was shocked. He actually was expecting the genetically engineered potato would come out fine, and he says it raises major concerns. He thinks that really it calls into question the safety of any genetically engineered food, and he's been speaking about the problem since then. So, you know, there are many other tests that have been done that really raise a red flag rather than put up the green light.
Well, now, it's my understanding that many of the countries in Europe do not want our genetically engineered food and won't allow it in. And yet, of course, we're trying to use the World Trade Organization to force them to open their markets to our food. What's the status of that?
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. We are basically trying to cram these foods down their throats. And it's very interesting to note that the United States, as you mentioned, the United States has brought a lawsuit against the European Union at the WTO, the World Trade Organization, claiming that the restrictions that the FDA has in place, which are not that great, but just requiring labeling, and they've had a moratorium for a while until more safety testing was done, that those are an illegal restraint on trade and against international law. Now, interestingly, and I wrote a comment published in the Financial Times in May that called attention to the fact that the requirements in Europe are actually less strict than the requirements in the statute books of the U.S. government. Our law actually requires much stronger safety testing, much greater restriction on genetically engineered food than the Europeans have dared to impose, and yet our government, instead of following our own law, is hypocritically claiming that the Europeans have no right to do something that is far milder than what our government is required by law to do. And it's amazing, really, what our government is trying to do. And right now, the arguments have been made, the legal arguments, and I think it's a three-judge panel, it might be more, but anyway, the judges at the WTO that have been impaneled to hear the case have said they need more time. So my understanding is that as of now, they're still deliberating.
Well, now, of course, I think you might explain to our listeners what's the difference. And after all, we've always had a certain amount of breeding of plants and, of course, of foods and things like that. You cross, you know, one type of potato with another type of potato, or one type of wheat with another type of wheat. And certainly this was the sort of thing that Burbank was doing many years ago.
Right.
And so how is genetic engineering different than the traditional things that farmers have always done?
Well, it's very different, Dr. Stan, in that when Luther Burbank or George Washington Carver or the wind and bees through natural processes have crossed two varieties, it's always either been within the same species or within closely related species, really cousin species, that still can crossbreed with one another. Most species cannot crossbreed with one another. In nature, there are strong barriers, natural barriers, against being able to take an apple and mate it with a bean, or to take the genes from a bacterium and put them into an apple or a soybean. What has happened up until the last really 12 years has been an honoring of nature's natural biological pathways. If they're available, they can be used, but that means it's in a very natural, holistic way. There is a complete set of genes coming from one partner to the union and a complete set coming from the other, and the sequence of the genetic information is not jumbled. It's very different with recombinant DNA technology, which is called genetic engineering. In that technology, some genetic material is taken from one organism and is forcibly spliced into the complete genome of another organism. Now, this is a gene, this is a genetic construct that has never before been in that species, so there's no natural place for it. It necessarily gets wedged in along the DNA strand in a place that it's never been before. That, we know, disrupts the area of the DNA into which it gets wedged. That can itself cause many problems. But there are many other potential problems. One is that because this gene is coming from a distinct species and is very different from the species into which it's going, it ordinarily won't even express. We got to get into a little biology here, but it's very important. Genes are only expressed as needed and where needed. Nature's very, very careful not to waste energy. So gene expression is controlled by a little bit of genetic material, DNA material, at the beginning of each gene, which we call a promoter. The promoter is basically the on and off switch for the gene. And promoters are highly attuned to biochemical cues that are specific not only to the organism, but often to the tissue group in which the gene is located. And when you take a gene from a soil bacterium and put it into a soybean, that promoter attached to the gene from the bacterium will not even pick up the signal that it's attuned to. It's not going to function. So the bioengineers, in the case of just about every genetically engineered food on the market, have taken off the native promoter that goes with the foreign gene before they put the gene in to the new organism, and they put on it a promoter that they know will drive a high level of gene expression, and they take that promoter from a pathogenic virus. So you have basically, to start with, a very strange construct, the gene from either a petunia or a bacterium or a virus, wedged with a gene from a very infective virus, and then inserted into the fruit or the vegetable.
And I really think this is really what's so important. People have to understand that we never used to get animal diseases. I mean, there was a barrier between, human beings and animals, and really between one animal and another. And they began experimenting back in the 1950s on how they could begin to grow animal viruses in monkeys or animal viruses in human beings and vice versa, and grow certainly human viruses in animals. And we broke down those barriers, and sometimes they'll even use tumor viruses to actually go from one species to another, not only in human beings, but in this genetic modifying. This is the most frightening thing. The average individual doesn't understand what these carriers are, and you're saying in many instances these are pathological genes that are actually used, either bacteria or viruses or
right.
Or even sometimes they're tumor viruses, aren't they?
Well, they can be in some of the research. To my knowledge, they haven't used those in the foods yet, but and Dr. Stan, with your medical knowledge, you've keyed in on one of the main problems, and that is human beings have broken down the natural barriers that have prevented the movement of genes between highly different species, and we don't know what the ultimate consequences could be. One thing that has become learned, and this is very frightening, is because these promoters are taken from a very potent virus, that we've learned now this promoter is active in just about every living organism. What it means is, and we also have learned, that by putting that viral promoter next to another gene, it creates what is called a hotspot. That means it's a place of genetic instability, and it's a recombinatory hotspot. It means that can start recombining with other genes. So not only can the food become risky for many, many ways just through the operation of the gene expression, there's a very great concern among many, many virologists, many experts in viruses, that there could be recombination between the little bits of dormant viruses that often do exist within the plant and that new promoter, and we could be creating whole new strains of highly infective and dangerous new viruses.
Hold that thought right there for a moment.
Our fourth episode on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this afternoon is Stephen. Do you pronounce it Drucker?
It's Drucker.
Drucker, okay, fine. And do you have a website where people can, of course, get more information on what we're talking about?
Yes, it's www.biointegrity.org, biointegrity.org. And on the site, there are many summaries of the risks of genetically engineered foods, and also a unique feature, photocopies of 24 of the key documents from the FDA files. You can actually read the memos written by the FDA's own scientists, and you can also see how they were covered up by the FDA bureaucrats, and compare what the scientists said with the public statements from the bureaucrats, it's a very disheartening experience.
Well, you know, this is really what's so infuriating, is that the high officials in the FDA will compromise the integrity, will lie to the American people, and the information that the scientists have, they can't bring it out, or they're going to, you know, there'll be whistleblowers, the government will come after them, take away their pension, their income, their jobs, you know, so the poor scientist is there who's really worried to death about, you know, the safety of the health of the American people. He really can't do much of anything about it, can he?
No, not after he's written the initial memo. What the unique thing is, and if we hadn't brought our lawsuit, then we wouldn't even know that. What we've done, at least through the lawsuit and through posting their memos on our website, is at least allowed the extensive work that they did when they were working as responsible scientists and responsible public servants to at least get into the public domain, to see the light of day. If it had been up to the bureaucrats of the FDA, nobody would still know what the FDA's own scientists had, after quite a bit of labor and thought, come up with. And they were trying to uphold sound science and the law. But once it's been done, and you're right, once the FDA policy came out and what the scientists had said was covered up, any scientist who then tries to go to the public, to go to the media, would get harassed, could lose his job. It would be very difficult for them. So they did what they could do within the context of the framework of the FDA, and I'm sure they are very frustrated. But at least we see in their memos what they said when they were working as responsible scientists and speaking as responsible scientists.
And really, this is so sad. I mean, we know, for instance, what the scientists of the FDA tried to do to try to keep NutraSweet off the market back before 1980, and when Donald Rumsfeld got that through, because they were concerned about the convulsions of the brain tumors and the toxic effect on the brain. And we could go into the background of fluoride and mercury, and all of these things have been well written up by government scientists, but because of the degree of control, this information isn't getting out. And what's really more disheartening is the media makes anybody who really is concerned about genetically engineered food look like some sort of a nut. And I need most of the conservative publications I read, why, of course, the only people who are against genetically modified food are those left-wing, radical, pro-socialist, green, you know. Have you come under that sort of attack? Why don't you just look at the science? It's so obvious that it's perfectly safe, and you've looked at the science and it isn't, and the average individual believes what they read in the paper or hear from their leaders.
That's true. And yes, I've come under attack, and those scientists who've been courageous enough to speak up have come under a lot of attack. Many people, in fact, there's the illusion given that there's a overwhelming consensus in the scientific community these foods are safe. As I mentioned, the FDA's own scientists, their overwhelming consensus there was just the opposite. There's a very interesting document on our website, document number 8, which is a letter from the FDA's biotechnology coordinator to a Canadian health official, written in October of 1991, where he admits that there is not a consensus about the safety of these foods in the scientific community at large. And yet, about 6 months later, the FDA's official statement came out claiming there is such a consensus and that these foods don't have to be tested. So the FDA was just, unfortunately, has been out and out lying on this. As I was saying, there are many other scientists who have spoken up, too. Unfortunately, those that don't have tenure at universities really often take a beating. In fact, there's been, as many of your listeners probably are aware, recently a case at the University of California, Berkeley, where a scientist who spoke of his concerns about genetically engineered food was denied tenure, even though the departmental faculty that know him all unanimously recommended tenure, and it was denied by higher ups within the bureaucratic process at the university. But these kinds of things have happened a lot. It's just this one got publicized more, and those professors that speak out tend to be well-established tenured professors or emeritus professors that can't really be heard anymore. In fact, one of them was a plaintiff in our lawsuit, a distinguished emeritus professor of molecular and cell biology at the University of California, Berkeley, Richard Stroman, who spoke very strongly about that there is sound scientific reason for concern about the safety of these foods. Another of our scientific plaintiffs...
Oh, hold that thought. We're going to have a quick break.
you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Stephen Drucker, and we're talking about a genetic engineered food. And I really became aware of this as a problem last year when I read a book written by May Wan Ho, was a genetic engineer working over in England and doing all of these fancy studies until she suddenly realized it was like opening Pandora's box or letting the genie out of the bottle. Where does this thing stop, and what happens when you've introduced all these genes from one substance into one product into another, one species into another species, back and forth between humans and humans certainly forms of plants and plants into human beings, and they're going to grow human hormones and potatoes and things like this. What's the implications of what they're doing? And she finally got out of that, and she tried to warn people about that, and we'll tell you a little later how to get copies of her book. But I think this is a very real problem, and especially when you realize that they're lying at the government level. And so I suggest you go to this website, and that's, of course, biointegrity.org. That's biointegrity.org. Read the government reports, and then ask yourself, gee, why doesn't Rush Limbaugh tell me about that? So pick up the story from there, Stephen. What happens after your lawsuit? You got the information, but were you able to do anything to stop what's going on?
Unfortunately, we weren't. The judge ruled, and it's a very interesting ruling, by the way, this all turned on a very technical issue of administrative procedure law. So the judge said the only issue was whether as of May of 1992, when the FDA brought out its policy statement, there was any rational basis whatsoever for them to presume that genetically engineered foods are generally recognized as safe. Of course, we showed that the FDA's own scientists had said that you couldn't presume that and that they didn't believe it was safe. And you know what the judge did? She said, well, as a matter of administrative law, the FDA bureaucrats don't have to actually listen to anything that their staff scientists say. So she basically threw out all that evidence. It's pretty hard to win a case when she says the bureaucrats don't even have to listen to what their scientists say. We also showed her the memo that the FDA's own biotechnology coordinator conceded that there was not consensus about safety within the scientific community at large, and she never, we brought that up in every brief, and she would not touch on that in her opinion. She basically treated that as a non-existent piece of evidence.
Well, you know, there's a real move now today under the Bush administration to say, look, if you take a drug and it harms you terribly, you no longer will have a right to sue as long as the FDA has said it's all right, because if you can sue that company after the FDA says it's all right, it'll totally disrupt our whole system of federal regulation of drugs. So, yeah, and I don't know whether this is law yet, but they're certainly pushing it in that direction. And all I can say is that somebody obviously must have friends in very high places.
Well, when I read about that, Dr. Stan, I was concerned, knowing what I know about how the FDA operates. You know, it's no guarantee of safety, and unless one is a stockholder in a major biotech company or a major drug company, I think that's the safety it's the safety of investments in those companies that is being protected, not the safety of the health of the American consumer. But it's a very difficult problem. It's a very major problem, and you know, if you bring a lawsuit, and by the way, I have a report on our lawsuit that's posted on the website. People would find it interesting reading, especially lawyers, how the judge systematically basically ignored every piece of evidence that was relevant. Essentially, the ruling came down to the FDA administrators had discretion to pretty much do whatever they wanted to do and say whatever they wanted to say, which is unfortunately what they did. The facts be damned in this case.
Also
the law be disregarded, which they have done.
Well, isn't that very concerning to you as a lawyer, and you're part of a system, just like when I was practicing medicine, I was part of a system, you know, but at least I could try to fight the system. But, you know, when you're a lawyer and you begin to run into something like that, what do you do?
Well, it's frustrating. You know, we brought the lawsuit. Our lawsuit forced the files out that showed the FDA scientists were concerned, that showed the FDA bureaucrats were lying. They claim, and it's in the Federal Register, in their statement, we're not aware of any information showing these foods differ in any meaningful way from other foods. Their files are loaded with that kind of information. It's from their own experts. And the judge let them get away with that. So what I thought, well, at least we have the documents from the FDA scientists. We'll bring it out into the public domain. I began releasing these documents to the media. I've been interviewed by mainstream media. Reporters have done it. I've been interviewed for live national TV news. And you know what happens? When reporters write a good story on it, their higher-up editors chop it out, shut it down, because the policy of the paper is not to bring out these kinds of facts about genetically engineered foods. And when it gets up to the editing desk of the national news team, bang, it goes out too, even though the reporters in the field thought it was a great story, sent cameras to interview me, extensively interviewed me. It does not make it through to the people. There's something very weird about our system. We're supposed to have the greatest free press in the world, but only aspects of it are free.
Well, I always like to say that freedom of the press means that if you own the press, you're freedom to suppress, but if you want to, and I really believe, I've been at this, Stephen, I've been at this game for 42 years. I've been around a lot more than most of the talk show hosts and been on the front lines of the battle, and of course, I finally decided the only way I can be effective is behind a microphone, and I try to give people like you an opportunity to reach the public with the truth about what's really going on and the fact that their health is not being protected by the government, and if they're interested in protecting themselves, they better get up on the internet and start doing some studying or get some of our material like Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, a wonderful book we carry, or Wen's book on genetic engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and I will tell you, after reading the book, you realize it's a nightmare.
It's a very powerful book, and
well, you know,
Dr. Stan, I want to commend you for being among those awake and courageous people in the media that actually give an opportunity for these important facts to be disseminated to at least some of the public, because, as I mentioned, the mainstream media has fallen down. They really are behaving. They're part of the cover-up, unfortunately, and I must say I was naively optimistic a few years ago. I actually thought the mainstream media would think, wow, this is something even as big a scandal as the Pentagon Papers, as Watergate. Let's report on it. It turns out that the grocery manufacturers of America and the biotech industry has tremendous clout when it comes to what the media will and will not report about genetically engineered foods.
Isn't it terrible when you suddenly wake up and you realize that the king really doesn't have any clothes on and there is no tooth fairy? We'll be back in just a moment. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Give us a call, because Stephen is on the front lines of this battle. He's done a great job. He's got the government documents. Is there any way that you can appeal your case to a higher level, or does this get so ridiculously expensive you just can't do it?
Well, were you just about to take a break?
No. We've got another 10 minutes.
We started an appeal, and then the FDA did, and this is in my report on the website. It's a bit complicated, but we filed an appeal, and then the FDA said, oh, we're going to bring out new regulations. Well, had they brought out the regulations, it would have made our appeal moot, because our lawsuit was under an informal policy statement, not formal regulations, which the FDA had resisted bringing out. So, and by the way, the new regulations were not going to substantively change anything, except they were going to put the policy under regulations instead of the policy statement. So I and the other attorneys with whom I was working finally decided, rather than pursue an appeal under an old policy that was about to become moot, we would wait for the new regulations to go into effect and then sue under them, in which case, by the way, we would have had a very strong case. All of that evidence the judge excluded would have had to be admitted. It seems the FDA might have realized that, too, as soon as our appeal was dropped. Well, not as soon, but once we dropped the appeal, they never moved ahead on the regulations. And last year they came out with a statement saying, you know, those proposed regulations are on our back burner. We don't know when we might actually implement them. So now they're standing pat on the old policy, since it will be very difficult for anybody to bring another lawsuit under them.
And you can't even revitalize your own lawsuit since you dropped it?
No, the statute of limitations on the appeal has already told. We filed it and then we formally withdrew it so that we could sue under the new regulations, which never came out.
Well,
the proposal.
I think that the tragic thing is we're endangering the health of the people. And as you look around and you see the number of people that have these new diseases, never existed before. And where did they come from? Where did AIDS come from? Chronic disease, and fibromyalgia, Lyme disease. And we could go right down the litany. If any of you want to look this up, you can read my newsletters from April, May, June, and July, August, I believe, of the year 2003. Go to my website, pull them down. We do an extensive study of this whole overview of genetic engineering, not only as far as food substances are concerned, but as far as human disease is concerned. Read those articles, and the May one specifically, with May Juan Hoser, whole Juan's book. Anyway, it's called Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and I certainly recommend that to you, and I'm certainly glad you've read that. And maybe you probably could recommend some other good sources of reading for our listeners out there.
Yes, there's one written by Jeffrey Smith called Seeds of Deception, which is very, very good at going into many of the deceptions that are going on, both on the scientific and governmental side. And in fact, Jeffrey interviewed me extensively and made extensive use of the information on our website in doing two of the chapters in the book. So his is one of the few books that came out that actually gives people understanding and documentation of the extent to which their own government is defrauding them. Of course, our website has that for you, and it's free, but his book is very, very good, and it's quite a revelation. So it's called Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey Smith. As far as books, I really think Dr. Ho's book, Dream or Nightmare, Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and Jeffrey Smith's, for the general public, are really the two best. And then I think our website is one of the very best places to go, and I'm sure your site is very good as well. But the main thing is I do encourage the listeners to get involved, because most of them are not aware of the extent to which they have been eating genetically engineered foods, really for the last, 8 or 9 years. And by now, probably at least 80% of the processed food, that means any packaged food in this country, contains one or another ingredient that has been derived from a genetically engineered food organism. And that's a situation that is really not a very good one, or many people might not like it. Professor Philip Riegel, a renowned expert in plant genetics at the University of Minnesota, has stated, and this is a quote, "There are scientifically justified concerns about the safety of genetically engineered foods, and some of them could be quite dangerous," unquote. And Dr. Riegel has continued that, unfortunately, because of the deficient to almost non-existent state of the safety testing, we don't know which of these foods may actually be risky and which might be all right. And he said, in a sense, if you serve genetically engineered foods to your family, it's like playing Russian roulette at the dinner table. And he says he wouldn't want to take that chance. He's trying to avoid eating any of these foods. But to do that, one has to get educated, and one has to start reading labels and being careful.
Amen to that. And so, in fact, there's so many things in your foods right now. If you don't know that they're there, you have no idea what you're laying yourself open for. And that's covered in a four-tape set called Life-Saving Secrets of the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, we carry. Right now, let's go to Ben, who's calling in from Salinas. Hi, Ben. Did you have something you wanted to say or question?
Yes, sir. I was listening very closely to the NPR show about these two experts in the new homeland food safety department with $38 billion of funding, right? And they're examining markets abroad, and markets are all about food safety, irradiated foods and all that. And I called and I asked them, what about genetically engineered foods? And he said to me, and these are the director and the assistant director, this is George Bush's people watching your food people, they said, our point of view is that all genetically engineered foods, regardless of the source of the genetic engineering, are safe and completely safe for human consumption. That's our point of view, end of story. Now, who is buying that?
Well, that's the official government line, and they have to adhere to it or they're not going to have a job, Ben. But I think that the people are going to have to realize they're going to have to look after their own health.
Are they going to force us to poison our kids? Are we going to stand up and be the kind of Americans we're supposed to be?
Ben, I'm glad you phoned in. I really feel that the public needs to start challenging government.
I've been doing it for years, and I've been called everything but a human being.
Ben,
here's a very interesting point, too. You mentioned the Homeland Security. Since 9/11, the government has made it clear repeatedly that one of its major sources of concern is the potential threat for biotech assault against the integrity of the American food supply, and yet our own government has actually endorsed and is allowing a biotech technological incursion on the integrity of our food that its own sign has said raises unique risks.
Yes, so we got to say we're at the mercy of DuPont and who's the major
Monsanto,
the major engineers. And they did, you saw what they did to that Barney, what's his name, that farmer, just because the stuff drifted into his orchard. This stuff may be good for fuel people, but please listen to the great Ben of Salinas, a lettuce-picking Mexican. Don't eat genetically engineered food or those biofish or hormone-manufactured, electrocuted beef. Watch what you're eating, because what you eat is what you are, people. We can all die.
God bless you. Thanks so much
for coming,
Ben. Okay. And that was Ben from Salinas, who feels very, very passionately, and I share his concern. I think that until we know, and quite frankly, we don't know, and they're not going to try to find out, and we don't want to get into all of the other problems we have that they're not telling us the truth about. Let's just stick with bioengineered food, because we've only got a minute and a half. What would the parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, that is, it's time to wake up about the extent to which the food that you and your family have been eating has been genetically engineered and basically is higher risk food according to our own government scientists. So, by the way, another website that I should have mentioned is, I believe it's truefood.org, or just key in TrueFood and do a search. they have a very good list, and they update it on how to shop, a shopping guide, so that when you're in the store, you can shop intelligently if you want to avoid these foods. And I highly recommend that. But a rule of thumb is, if it contains soybeans or corn derivatives or canola oil or cottonseed oil, and it doesn't say it's certified organic or certified GMO-free, then you could assume that it probably, a significant portion of that, of those ingredients came from genetically engineered products, and you might want to avoid them.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much, and I will be calling you, and I'd love to get you on some of our other programs. I do this 5 hours a day it's an amazing experience to get an opportunity to talk to people like you and other people who are out there on the front lines. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, Dr.
Bye bye.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do have a great deal of information along this line. I will be getting the book Seeds of Treason. I've been meaning to get the author here on our program. It's just there's so much to do and just not that much time, but certainly Jeffrey Smith's book Seeds of Deception we will have. We do have right now, however, the book Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare, and of course if you have ordered that and you'd like to get a copy of our April newsletter, no, it's our May newsletter, where I actually discuss in great detail what I learned reading that book, but they really do use tumor vehicles or genes to be as a vehicle for taking a human gene and putting it into an animal gene. So you're actually introducing tumor genes as a vehicle, and they come from fish sarcomas or all sorts of crazy things. You need to understand, this all comes from the book Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare. And we have it summarized fairly well in my May newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of that. Of course, we hope that you'll want to get our book, and of course you want to get some of the other information we have. If you've not read the Rockefeller Committee report, it came out of the Veterans Administration in 1994, about all the experiments they've done on the American people. You need to get that. It's only, I think, $9.95 for the Rockefeller Committee report. And then let me suggest you get the Tuskegee report. This is classic. It's the story of how they recruited 400 black men with syphilis. Not to treat them and cure them, but to let them die so they could autopsy them. And nobody in government was ever punished. And this is the mentality of people at the highest places in government today. There seems to be a total lack of human compassion. And have you ever noticed that nobody gets punished? Nobody at the high levels is ever responsible? Call us at 1-800-5. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And we'll be, of course, talking today about genetic engineering. We do carry the book Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare. We recommend it to you, and we will be carrying very soon the Seeds of Destruction. That's Jeremy Smith's or Jeffrey Smith's book. I just got to get him lined up for some of our programs. And then you need to understand that they really are poisoning the American people. You need to understand the fluoride in water is a poison. Look on your toothpaste tube, and you'll see it says if you have any more of this and your child has any more of this and they need for brushing their teeth, why I immediately get to a poison center. A poison center in our toothpaste? Yeah. Now, the reason it works is because it kills all the bacteria, and you take very much of it, it'll kill you, too. And they know that. But they can't let the American people know that. One reason they put that in the toothpaste is, of course, to counter the lawsuits. There's been so many lawsuits where people have been seriously harmed by fluoride. We know from the extensive studies, and I practiced orthopedics for many years, I think at least 4 reports that came out in reputable journals that it doubled the incidence of hip fractures in postmenopausal women in areas where the water is fluoridated. If it does that, what else does it do? Why, it keeps you from having children, it decreases the fertility, attacks your bones, that attracts your brain. And, of course, there's legislation going to be going through tomorrow. In the state here, in the state of California, SB 96, where they can forcibly fluoridate the water in every community, whether the people want it or not. And here in my community, the people from the left and the right got together and we voted it down. We said we don't want fluoridation, and they're going to force it on us anyway. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're really concerned about your family, yourself, your health, get on the telephone if you're here in the state of California, and of course call your legislators, your senators, and your assemblymen, and said vote no on SB 96. And then you need to get our 4 tapes set on water fluoridation to find out how they're poisoning you. We have experts from across the country. This is very well covered in the book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, with all the documentation. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, the 4 tape set on water fluoridation. You need to get the 4 tape set on mercury. You need to understand what they're doing with mercury as far as our fillings and putting it in our vaccines. And even though that they knew it was extremely toxic, they took it out of the childhood vaccines. Aw, shucks, they just left it in the influenza vaccine, and they told us all we had to get our children vaccinated, knowing full well they were getting, 50 to 60 times the amount of mercury that they should, but that's all right. Because it has a profound effect on the mind, just like the fluoride does. And you don't want too many smart people in the brave new world, do you really? Would they do this to the American people? Well, let me suggest you get the government report. It's called the Rockefeller Committee Report, about experimenting on human beings. And, of course, it goes to the background of the Gulf War syndrome, and that 40% of the wives of Gulf War veterans who were ill, 40% of the wives were ill, too. Would they introduce a disease into the American people intentionally? Well, you get the Rockefeller Committee report, and you just ask that question yourself. And then, of course, you can ask where the AIDS comes from. You need to get our 4 tape set on AIDS. You need to get our 4 tape set on aspartame and on NutraSweet, because this produces brain tumors. They knew that. The FDA scientists did everything they could to keep it from being introduced, and then after it was introduced, they've done everything they could to conceal the truth from the American people. And you're getting it in almost everything you get, aspartame, NutraSweet, or MSG, so you need to get the information that we have it. Our 4 tape set on life-saving health secrets. Life-saving health secrets, or, of course, the book, entitled Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Remember our program we're going to have here on the 6th of November, all day in the Monterey Bay area. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to make your reservations for lunch at the meeting. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.